This morning, the scripture that we're going to be looking into is in Matthew 11 at verses 25 to 30. And just before I start reading from verse 25 in Matthew 11, what's happening in Matthew's gospel at this point, and really all through Matthew's gospel, is there's a comparison that Jesus is making between his own way and the way of the Pharisees. And so the Pharisees were like the religious leaders, the religious elite of Jesus' day. And they were the people who decided what was good and what was bad. They were the people who took the law, the Torah, the scriptures that God had given, and decided exactly what they meant and how you were supposed to follow them. And so they would take this law and they would break it down into all its little parts to make sure that nobody could stumble. And so they had exacting standards. And Jesus often is angry at the Pharisees because he made knowing God, the Pharisees made knowing God really, really hard for people, almost impossible for people. They made following the law really hard, almost impossible for people. And so in this passage, one of the things that's happening here is that Jesus is, there's a undercurrent of this comparison with the Pharisees versus himself in his own way as he's talking. And so at verse 25, we read, "At that time Jesus said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent.'" He's referencing the Pharisees. "You've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants," by which he means the not Pharisees, the not super educated. "Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And so at this point, we are then invited into the story. So it's kind of, there's this narrative piece, and then there's this, as if Jesus turns around and he says, "Okay, I'm going to talk directly to you. I'm, you know, instead of it being just me and God, I'm going to talk directly to you." And this is where we get to in verse 28, when he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Come to me. Now, I want to stay with that phrase for a bit, because usually when we read what Jesus is saying, when he's inviting people, it's always, "Come follow me. Come follow me, come go with me somewhere." And there's a difference here, because he's not saying, "Come follow me, walk behind me, learn from me." He's saying, "Come to me." There's a relationality about that invitation. Before there's any invitation to be his disciple or to follow or to learn what the new rules are or anything like that, he's saying, just come to me. He's making this invitation to be in relationship with him. He's saying that this relationship is where it all begins. This relationship is what is foundational. And it's foundational to Christianity. It's foundational to our faith. It's one of the things that set Christianity apart from Judaism and from any of the other religions that were going on around the day, because it's a relational religion. It's a religion that dares say, we human beings, measly creatures of our Creator, can actually be in relationship with our Creator. And not relationship as oh, you're the peons and God just tells you to do all these work for him, but actual relationship. All through the Gospels, we learn how much God loves us, that we are his children, we are his beloved, words like that he uses. So when Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden," he's saying, "I want you to be in relationship with me. This is where it starts. Just come to me like a father welcomes their children. Come to me." He's not starting by saying, "Hey, it's all about the rules," because it's not all about the rules. It's not about believing the right thing in the right way. That's not where it all starts. That's not where Jesus starts. The Pharisees, they were all about the law. The law, which was this thing that God gave Israel way, 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 way long, couple thousand years or more before this event happened with Jesus. And he gave them the law so that it would guide them to be his people as kind of a, hey, I want you, Israel, I want you to be a light to all the other nations. I want you to embody what life in my kingdom is like so all the other nations can discover what my kingdom is like and can learn to live in my kingdom. That's what he said to them. And he said, so here's the law, and it's going to help you do that. But then what the Pharisees had done is instead of making it about being a light to the nations, instead of it being about God's kingdom, they turned it all about the law. They said, well, it's the goal is following the law perfectly. That's what it's all about. They turned it into that. They forgot that the law was actually a tool, not the point itself. And so there was this mix-up in priorities that was going on. The point of the law is the same point as Jesus. It's relationship with God. It was to make it so that the people could live in relationship with God, in a restored relationship with God like it was in the beginning. Now, the reality is that we can be just like those Pharisees. You know, sometimes in churches, it's really easy to go, oh, those miserable Pharisees who Jesus was so mad at. We can be really mad at them too. Oh, those self-righteous ones. We can get all mad at them. But the reality is, when we're honest, we realize we can be like the Pharisees only too often. We don't talk about the law, right? We don't use that framework in Christianity. We don't talk about the Torah or the law in that kind of way. But we do talk about the Bible. Now, before you hear me saying, oh, we shouldn't talk about the Bible, don't hear me say that at all. I absolutely, that the Bible is how God is one of the primary ways that God reveals himself to us. It's how we know God. We hear God speak through its pages. That's why we start the service dwelling in the Word, expecting that God is going to speak through the pages of Scripture. However, the Bible, following the rules that we see in the Bible, however you want to put it, is not the end goal. Christianity, following Jesus, being a Christian, however you want to call it, is not about, oh, so I can just, you know, really hold on to the Bible and really follow it. The Bible is a tool for us to know God. The Bible is a tool for us to be able to hear from God, to know God more, to understand who God is and who we are in light of that. It is a tool. I think it's a sacred tool, but it is a tool. And as soon as we turn the tool into the point or into the goal or into the thing that it's all about, it becomes the idol. It becomes the thing that we're worshiping. And I think we are always in danger of worshiping the Bible instead of the God to whom it points. Just like the Pharisees worshiped the law instead of worshiping the God to whom the law pointed. And so we need to be aware of that as we get judgmental about those Pharisees sometimes, is recognizing, there can be a little bit of Pharisee, I think, in all of us. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. In the context of what's happening here, when Jesus says those burdens, the burden is the law. The law as the Pharisees have made it. The burden that he's talking about is the requirement of following the law every bit, every tiny little piece of it. There are 600 and some odd laws through the Old Testament, and you had to know them all, and you had to follow them all, and how dare you trip on any one of them. So it became this heavy, heavy burden that people were carrying with them. And so when Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest, he's saying, all of you who are just so weighed down by all the expectations of your religion, come to me, I'll give you rest from those burdens. Whenever the rules supplant the relationship, there's trouble. It's exhausting. When you're always motivated, trying to be right, to do the right things all the time, and to know the right things and never trip, it's exhausting. If the focus is on that relationship, Jesus says, come to me, then there's rest in that. Jesus says, are you exhausted from trying to follow all the rules, is kind of what he's saying here. Or even just trying to know all the rules, are you finding that that's exhausting? Then he says, so come to me, I'll give you rest. I'll give you the rest that you need. Focus on me. And then, and only then, it's from this place of relationship with God that he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That finally is that invitation to discipleship, that invitation to follow, that invitation to learn from Jesus. But it comes out of the first invitation to be in relationship with Jesus. First we come to him, and then the learning happens. It's not like, oh, I have to learn all of these things before I can go to him. And sometimes people think that. Sometimes we think that. I remember a young guy who was in a youth group I was part of years and years ago. And he was determined that he couldn't actually make a full commitment to Jesus until he'd read the entire Bible and pretty much had it all memorized so that he wouldn't mess up. And let me tell you, when I was his youth pastor and I said to him, used his name, so-and-so, we'll call him Jack. Jack, that's never going to happen. You're never going to have the Bible all known. There's always going to be new things that you discover. You can't possibly memorize all of it and get it all right. So if you're waiting to be perfect before you can really fully make a commitment to Christ, it's never going to happen. And that's because it's a backwards thing, right? He's hearing, come follow me, be my disciple, learn from me, without the come to me part. So this is so important what Jesus is saying. He starts with, come to me. And then once you have come to me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now the yoke is, in ancient Judaism, the yoke was a common term meant for the law that the Pharisees were talking about. A yoke is farm animals. When farm animals used to work on farms and actually have a thing behind them to dig up the dirt. I'm not a farmer, so I don't know all the technology, but there would, like, you'd have ox, say, and you'd have two oxen side by side, and they'd have this piece of wood that would attach them so that they would walk together. And together, as they pulled whatever it was they had to pull to dig up the dirt, to plant seeds, whatever it is they needed. And so the yoke was the thing that kept them side by side. The yoke was the thing that kept them going the same speed. The yoke was the thing that kept them being able to do what they needed to do. And so in ancient Judaism, the yoke was often used as a term to mean the law, because the law was the thing that was to keep us going. It was meant to guide us, to give us the bounds, to keep us in line with what it was that God would have from us, to be able to embody that kingdom of God. And so the yoke and the law is a parallel term. And so when Jesus says here, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, he's still talking about the law, but not the law as the Pharisees have been interpreting it. That's not really what he's talking about. Back in Matthew 5:17, which is right at the beginning of something called the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, we read from Matthew 5-7. And it's one of the famous sermons of Jesus. And especially in Matthew's gospel, it's a whole chunk there. It starts with something called the Beatitudes. Blessed are they who, for they shall, kind of statements. But in Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law. See, the law wasn't wrong. The law wasn't a problem. The law was a gift that God had given his people. So Jesus, don't think that I've come to abolish it, to get rid of it. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. The purpose of the law was relationship with God. And Jesus came so that we could have relationship with God. That it was through his death and through his resurrection that we could be in restored relationship with God. And so that's what he's talking about here. And then he says, and after he says that, when he says, don't think that I've come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, that's where in that Sermon on the Mount, he goes through a lot of statements that he starts with, you have heard it said, but I say to you. And he's taking the law and he's saying, here's what the Pharisees have said it means. Here's what I'm saying to you it means. And so just to show Jesus had great respect for the law, Jesus believed that the law was a gift from God. And so that yoke, that law, was a good thing, but it had become a bad thing in the hands of the Pharisees. And so first he says, come to me. And then he says, take my yoke and learn from me. Why? Because I am gentle and humble in heart, which is the opposite of the Pharisees. And you will find rest for your souls. When we are grounded in relationship with Jesus, everything else flows easily. It flows naturally out of that relationship. When we don't have that relationship and we're trying just, even just to be good people at times, it's really hard. But when it starts with that relationship, grounded in a relationship with Jesus, everything else flows out of there. It's no longer exhausting. That's where rest is in the presence of God. That's where refreshment is. That's where shalom or peace or wholeness is found, in relationship with Jesus. We first respond to that invitation, come to me, and then everything else flows from there. And then we get to verse 30 where he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, when he says my yoke is easy, almost all of the translations that any of us are probably reading, it probably says my yoke is easy. But it doesn't mean that all the commandments, all the laws, all of that are really easy. But what it does mean is another way to define the word from Greek that's used for easy would be kind or gentle. Those are often used when that word is used anywhere else. In Galatians, Paul uses that word when he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit, the character of God that is imparted to us. And when he uses the word kindness as a fruit of the Spirit, that's the same word that's being used here by Jesus when he says, my yoke is easy. In some translations, it says, my yoke is easy to bear. And I kind of like that, because then it's not saying, hey, it's just really easy. But having come to him, being in relationship with him, it's easy to bear the requirements, the law, because he's holding us. He's holding us up. We don't have to hold it all up on our own. In chapter 10, which is just before what we're reading today, there's a point where Jesus likens following him to carrying a cross, which is a horrible instrument of torture. And he says that if those who do not take up the cross and follow me are not worthy of me. So it's not that following Jesus is easy. That's not what he's saying. Hey, and so then we go, well, I don't find following Jesus easy. What's wrong with me? He's not saying that. But he is saying when it sits in the foundation of being in relationship with Jesus, then it becomes easy to bear. Then there's a kindness, a gentleness to it all, because Jesus is holding us. And it's not just that following Jesus is easy to bear when we're in relationship to him. It's everything is easier to bear when we're in relationship with Jesus, when we're grounded in that relationship. Not because whatever the things are easy or light to carry, but because Jesus is carrying us. So we're not on our own carrying the things. And I know, like some of us in this room, we are carrying really heavy burdens. There's a lot of things that we legitimately are concerned about, are afraid of, are worried about. And it's not that those things are light or those things are easy. Some of them are really, really hard. But when we start from that place of being in relationship with Jesus, when we respond first to the come to me, then it's not that those things become lighter, but it's that we aren't the ones carrying the burden, that Jesus takes that for us because he's carrying us and all the luggage we come with. And so it's no longer in our strength to have to carry any of it. There's a song that was written a long time ago called It Is Well With My Soul. It's a beautiful, beautiful song that we're going to be singing together in a few minutes. But when the author wrote it, he wrote it after he had lost everything. A fire had destroyed his home, his business, everything he had, he'd lost. And then almost immediately thereafter, almost all of his children died. There was his wife and some kids were on a boat heading back from the United States, back to England, I think. And there was a disaster on the boat, and more of them died. And then he was on his way on another boat back. And when he got to the spot in the ocean where he'd lost his children, that's where this song, where he penned this song, It Is Well With My Soul. And the chorus is just, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. And you'll hear the words when we sing the song together, or you might just need to listen. And the question is, how on earth could a man who had suffered that much grief, that much loss, how could he sing these kind of words? How could he have that kind of sense of assurance? And it was because he was nestled in the arms of God. It was because he was rooted in relationship with Jesus. He knew that all of this tragedy, that everything that he carried with him, he didn't have to carry because Jesus would carry it for him as Jesus carried him. And that's the beauty. And I think that's why this song has stood the test of time and why it's still, people get very emotional with this song, beautiful music that goes with the words. Because whatever comes our way, when we start from that place of being rooted in Jesus, it's easy, it's light to carry. Because Jesus is the one doing the carry. That's where we start. Everything else flows from there.